Jesus. Amen. Dear saints, today our Jesus confronts death with us. Death is after you. Judgment is after you like a prowling lion. Satan is after you. And dear saints, you have three options. You can either confront him yourself and you will be gobbled up. You can run away and you will be caught. Or you can take your Jesus and confront them with you. And that is what our Jesus does with us. Today, our Jesus takes us and he confronts death and judgment and hell. Luke chapter 16, starting with verse 24. And he, that is this rich man, called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish." Judgment, dear saints, anguish, punishment, hell. This is what your Jesus is telling you about. And he says it about the rich man. And it would behoove us to consider, because over and over again, throughout this story, and throughout the sermon, you're going to hear the phrase, the rich man. It behooves us to understand that riches did not damn this man. Riches did not bring judgment upon this man. Riches are in and of themselves not evil. Abraham was rich. But what you do with your money shows what you believe with your heart. What shall I render? Our choir sang. When everything belongs to God anyway. What this man did with his riches showed what he believed about mercy. About the mercy in which his Lord has shown to him. It couldn't have been much. About the mercy in which he owed to others. What he did with his riches showed what he believed with his heart. About God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So over and over again, as you hear this phrase, a rich man, know that it was not riches that damned him, but it showed what he believed with his heart. The first thing I want us to consider, that Jesus wants us to consider, is this very important word in verse 25, Abraham speaking to this rich man. He says, "Child, remember that you in your life received good things." Remember. Remember, dear saints. There is a wonderful gift that I think our Lord gives to us. And that is the gift of forgetting. Do you want to remember everything in your life? Do you want to remember the pain that you're experiencing? Do you want to remember the mourning that you have? Do you, dear saints, do you want to remember your guilt and your sin? Do you want to remember your regret? You have them. You have all these things in your life, and the Lord promises you that in heaven you will not remember that. It is the Lord's gift of forgiving. That is why so often in Scripture, heaven is described in the negative. It is what heaven does not have that you have here. No pain, no tears, no sadness, no sin, no regret. It is the Lord's gift to you of forgiving. And the things that you do want to remember, you do not forget those. Because there's, Pastor Keenert's here, and he can attest that one of the most common questions about heaven, I think, that is asked is, will I remember my wife, my mama, my daddy, my auntie, my uncle? And the answer, I think, is absolutely clear, and it is yes. It is, in fact, amazing that you will remember people that you never even met. Because you're joined, you are gathered to your people. You are gathered to your family. You'll know people that you never even met. And our Lord gives us this wonderful picture in the Transfiguration. He takes up Peter and James and John with them. He's transfigured, shown bright white before their face. And Moses and Elijah come. And Peter says, behold, Moses and Elijah. Did he ever meet them? How did he know them? It was a picture of heaven, dear saints. Peter remembered people that he had never even met. And that is the promise for you, that you won't forget the people that you love. You won't not recognize them, but that you will in fact have the same love for everyone there, the same comfort from everyone there that you got from the people that comforted you the most here. So in heaven, dear saints, you have the gift of forgiving. And the gift of remembering. And in hell, the complete opposite is true. Abraham says, remember that you in your lifetime receive your good things to the rich man. Remember. Remember your sin in hell. Remember your guilt. Remember your regret. And dear saints, what he is doing in this is he is saying, remember how good it was. And know how bad you have it now. For if it was just simply bad, you might get used to it. But if you can constantly remember how good it was, you never get used to that. And one of the primary reasons, dear saints, that our Jesus takes us on this journey today to confront judgment and hell and sin is because of something that we say every Sunday. We confess our sins and we say, I deserve present and eternal punishment. That is what I deserve. That is a hard pill to swallow. As a pastor, you can ask these questions about people. You go, do you believe in God? Oh, yes, I believe in God. Do you believe that God is three persons, one God? I believe God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you believe that you are a sinner? Oh, yes, I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. I do bad things. Do you believe you sin? Yes. Do you believe that you deserve judgment, hell, punishment, constant eternal punishment for those? And that is when people pause. What do you think you deserve because of this? Slight discipline? Sent to bed without dinner? A slap on the wrist? That's not what we confess. We confess that if the only thing that I did in my life was be angry at someone, that I deserve eternal punishment for that. That is a hard pill to swallow. But it's a pill we must consider. And it's a pill that we swallow every single Sunday when we confront this. And the most important reason why we confront it is so we know what our Jesus did for us. So that we know that the reason that you have the promise of forgetting your sin was because your Jesus was remembering your sin. Sins that he did not commit. Sins that had not even been committed yet. He was all remembering them from the cross. Experiencing the guilt. Experiencing the wrath. So that the promise that you have is that not only will you not forget, not only will you not remember your sin, but that the Lord remembers your sin not as well. That is his promise. It is removed as far as the east is from the west, because your Jesus became sin and remembered them. And he said, Father, forgive them. Remember them not. Cover them. The second thing, dear saints, that we must consider is verse 24, Luke chapter 16. The rich man called out, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish and in this flame. That is, this rich man, this man in hell, is experiencing physical suffering. Not just spiritual, not just of the soul, but of the body. Physical suffering. The promise that our Jesus has for us here is a promise that is both hard and easy. The promise is that there is no difference in physical suffering between a Christian and a non-Christian. A Christian can get cancer and suffer. A non-Christian can get cancer and suffer. A Christian can have knee surgery because their knees are falling apart. A non-Christian can have knee surgery because their knee is falling apart. There is no difference. The rain falls, the sun shines both upon the just and the unjust. There is no physical difference in this life. If there was, this church would be packed this morning. If there was the promise that you would not suffer physically if you were a Christian, then we would be taking it by sight and not by faith. But there is this physical suffering in hell. The man says, I am in anguish. And for women who have given birth here, that's what this word means. It means that the pain that I have had in childbirth, or the pain that I have experienced passing a kidney stone, that's what I have constantly. It won't bear up. There's no promise of the stone passing. There's no promise of the birth ending. That, dear saints, is pain. And that is what your Jesus experienced on the cross for you. So that in heaven you have the promise of no pain. It is why when we see it depicted in movies, when we hear it, our Lord's word depicted in the Passion narrative, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is why there is so much violence in the crucifixion. To give us a small picture of what it's like to experience the physical and spiritual suffering that our Jesus had for us. And the anguish that the rich man has in hell is that he is thirsty. He wishes. He's in this flame and he wishes for a drop of cool water. And tell me, dear saints, what your Jesus says from the cross. He cries out, I thirst. And he doesn't get water. So that when he does get water, he takes it to baptize you. To bury you with his death. to unite you with himself, to forgive you all of your sins. That is the promise of what he does with water. He washes you away, all of your guilt and sin. And the third and final thing, verse 22. The poor man, Lazarus, died. And he was carried to the angels, to Abraham's side, by the angels, to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. Death happens to everyone. It is the great silencer of every objection that we would have to judgment before God. It is the great silencer. But when death happens for the Christian, they are carried to heaven to be at the face of Jesus, to receive comfort and peace. That is not only comforting for them, it is comforting for us. That it is not the end. It is not the end of hope. It is not the end of love and mercy and forgiveness in this life. It is but the beginning. But when death happens for the non-Christian, did you catch that in the text? The dead man died and was buried. That is the end. The end of hope. The end of mercy. And that is frightening. That is harmful not only to him, but it is harmful to those who loved him. And so, dear saints, our Jesus takes us. And he confronts these enemies with us today. And he says to you, you are not enough. I am not enough. But my word is enough. It is enough, dear saints, to bring you comfort now. It is enough, dear saints, as you are in anguish, as you are mourning, your Jesus is enough. That is his promise. His word of promise is enough. It is enough to bury your sin, to remove your guilt, to remove your regrets, to help you love and forgive others in your life. Moses and the prophets, Jesus' word is enough. That is his promise. And it is a promise that will stay until you see by sight. Amen.